You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, ho-ho holiday hoedown. I don't know what that means, but I'm Cody.
A jingle jangle, I'm Sam.
I'm a South Pole elf, Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
The real Christmas princess.
Oh, we have a great show for you this week. A bunch of news to go over. But first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out. Check it out!
Santa's coming to town!
Santa! Oh my God!
I know him! I know him.
You know what? You are a true king.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You said Jingle Jangle, and it reminded me that we did, in fact, watch that movie Jingle Jangle.
Oh, okay. What is Jingle Jangle? Let's talk about it.
It's a Christmas movie on Netflix with, who's in it, Forrest Whitaker?
Yeah.
And John Legend is in there.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a...
I think he just did music for it then.
Oh, yeah, you did the music for it.
Okay.
Keegan-Michael Key is the bad guy, and he's great in it.
He's amazing.
It's a musical.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know which one you're talking about. It took me a minute to kind of remember. Yeah, okay.
It's a musical about a toy inventor that loses some of his jingle jangle.
Roll credits.
When his apprentice steals his Book of Inventions, is that what it was? Yeah.
So it's the water boy when they stole
the playbook
from from the Fonz. Yeah. and he lost
he lost his mojo
and he gets his jangle back when his granddaughter comes back to visit.
Oh, Stella got her jangle back.
Yeah,
I was trying to think of a joke. I was really really trying.
And you know, teaches him to love inventing in Christmas. Oh,
okay.
Again.
Well, no, that's interesting. That sounds like a cute, fun kind of family Christmas movie.
It definitely is. It's very cool. The musical numbers are actually good.
Oh, awesome.
Like the dancing is really good.
Oh, yeah. Lots of flips.
Yeah. And they actually pull back to where it's like you see it all happening at once around you. So it looks more impressive. It's not like, mm-hmm. Well, they obviously cut here so they could do one move. And like, it's a whole bunch of people doing it at once. So it's more impressive, like a stage show would be.
Like an actual musical number.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
And it's a primarily black cast. Maybe all. Is there anybody white in this movie? I don't think there is.
I mean, it's background characters.
Yeah.
But...
Okay.
And there's an evil living doll voiced by Ricky Martin.
Not making this up.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I mean, if there is ever a true evil in this world, it's Ricky Martin.
It's like the first big, like a real big invention that the main character Geronicus Jangle invents is like this.
Wait. What's his name?
Geronicus Jangle.
I love it.
It's like this sentient, like Hispanic matador doll that's actually evil.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
He made like a huge narcissist doll, and when the doll hears it's going to be mass produced, he's not into that. He wants to be the one and only sentient matador doll voiced by Ricky Martin. But yeah, it was a fun movie. I definitely don't regret watching it.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
We also finished the Christmas Prince trilogy.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about the Christmas Prince.
It gets progressively worse.
Crazier.
Yeah. Actually, by the time we're on the third one, it's so buck wild it comes back
it
around
comes back,
and it's kind
it,
of
right,
fun at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, the second one's okay. But yeah, the third one, when they go to the royal dungeon. Yeah. Royal hackers.
Oh, is it not that kind of dungeon?
Oh no, it's an actual dungeon.
It's a literal dungeon.
They lock the queen and polio-stricken granddaughter,
Spina Bifida.
They lock them in the royal dungeon, which is an actual dungeon that this Christmas town has.
Which they teased for two previous movies.
They did talk about the dungeon quite a bit.
We finally get to see the dungeon.
Yeah. And wouldn't you know it, there's a Christmas secret inside that dungeon.
Like, the main motivator of the plot is that they're afraid their baby is going to be cursed.
Yeah. It's going to have the Christmas curse.
Yeah, holly jolly Christmas curse.
Curse this innocent child. Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's literally a line.
And was that the same one where if they don't sign the treaty by Christmas, the two countries go to war on Christmas?
Yep.
Begin a forever war?
And then there was one point where...
I mean, I'd watch a Christmas war.
Where Rose MacIver starts, like, having her baby, and the queen from the other country helps by rolling a warm paint roller across her butt.
Yep, that's it. It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. Just like, I'm inexplicably paint rolling your butt.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was. I don't know why they were doing it, but it was a paint roller and it was on her butt. Or at least close enough to where it looked weird.
No one's like,
Everybody knows you can soothe a pregnant woman by paint rolling her butt.
I mean, if we have any midwives or gynecological doctors, maybe they could explain that to us. You know, yeah, send
call
us an email.
Let us know.
A hot towel on a paint roller.
That'll do it. That'll do it every time. Well, I'm glad you guys have experienced the Christmas Prince trilogy.
Now we got to do the Princess Switch.
Arguably a more enjoyable set of movies. Vanessa Hudgens can play two out of three switched princesses very well. A third one wasn't super great.
It was a stretch at that point.
She can do American and British. That's about it. But hey, you know, she tried. Well, keeping on the Christmas movie theme,
One more. Rose McIver's pregnancy acting was abysmal.
Oh, it was awful.
There were some times when she was like in pain where I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. Are you having the baby? Are you in pain? And it turns out she was just like bending over to pick up a slipper.
Yeah.
What the heck was that?
It was bad acting.
Like it was literally confusing what was going on.
Yeah, you watch that scene and you go, oh yeah, I see where they got the Power Rangers acting from. It's this right here.
Because like on iZombie, she was a brilliant actress on iZombie.
Yeah,
this one she was clearly picking up a paycheck.
Yes, it was paycheck time. Yeah.
It probably wasn't her fault. It was probably bad direction.
It's probably bad direction, but still. All right, so the Christmas movie I watched, because you got to. Did I talk about Christmas on the Square?
No.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit.
With Dolly Parton?
Yeah, as an angel.
As an angel.
Because she is an actual
Because real she life is an
angel.
Actual real life angel. Yes. Yes. Watched Christmas on the Square, which is, it's a musical. And I don't mean that as it has, you know, a movie with songs in it. It looks like a set. It looks like something that was performed on a stage that they just brought the sets over.
Huh.
So kind of like that one, like Peter Pan thing they had.
Kind of like that. But I mean, a little more to it than that. But there's maybe like four sets and the square is definitely a set. And there is choreographed singing and dancing. And also Treat Williams is there, you know, from The Phantom. He was Xander Drax, the villain.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, he's in a bunch of other things, but I can never remember what he's in. He's like budget Alec Baldwin at this point. But it's, you know, for as goofy a premise as Dolly Parton, the angel, is here to save the day, it was actually a pretty enjoyable movie. Christine Baranski, who... folks will know her from
Mamma Mia.
Yeah, from Mamma Mia, Big Bang Theory. She was Leonard's mom, and she's been in a bunch of other stuff.
Bazinga.
Yep. But she plays this rich lady who comes into town a week before Christmas and says, "Well, here you go. I'm selling the town. Everybody get out. I'm building a mall on your town, and I'm selling it."
That's a big mall.
It's a big mall. The Cheetah Mall.
The Okay.
Get it? The Cheetah Mall?
Oh, yeah.
But she hates Christmas, and she hates that town, and she wants to sell it because apparently she owns it.
But what about all the people who own their own property?
Yeah, she cut them checks.
I mean, that's on them then.
Yeah. But then, oh no, she might have a brain tumor.
Okay. What?
Merry Christmas.
Wait, so that's why she's a miser? She has a brain tumor?
No, she. That's why she sees Dolly Parton at the angel. Or maybe it's a real angel. I don't really know.
That's for you to decide.
That's for you to decide.
The viewer.
Yeah. Dolly Parton's angel costume is amazing because imagine the rhinestones. just picture in your mind Dolly Parton covered head to toe in rhinestones sitting on a badly CGI'd cloud floating through this rich person's house yelling at her for being a miser.
I mean,
giving out country advice.
Probably books, too. She's throwing books at kids from the cloud.
Yep, just tossing them to kids.
Christine, and then curing COVID.
And she, yes. They're downtime from being an angel yelling at Christine Baranski to not sell a town. She is curing COVID single-handedly. But yeah, no, then there's a part where Christine Baranski befriends a small child who is running a bar in the town. Well, to be fair, her dad runs the bar, but her dad's never home. So the small child runs the bar. And then, oh no, there's a car accident. And the kid is in serious critical condition. Like,
well, this has got some twists and turns.
It is the definition of the term buck wild. It just keeps going. I don't want to spoil it. But I mean, I did talk about the rest of the movie, including the part where a child runs a bar.
The baby bar.
That's a baby bar. Yeah, she pulled. Yeah, she poured Christine Baranski a glass of whiskey, and then she poured herself a little glass of chocolate milk out of a snifter, and they like shot it like a shot.
I feel like that's like Marlene from Final Fantasy VII.
A little, kind of, a little bit. Yeah.
That's probably what it was like in that when Tifa wasn't there.
Probably, yeah. But yeah, you know, it was enjoyable. It was, went into it ready to goof on it, absolutely ready to goof on it, and there's enough goof there. But it was enjoyable. It's worth checking out. You gotta like the country music, though. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the country music, but you gotta look past it.
I'm not a big fan either, but I can stomach Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton's fine. Geez. Yeah, I mean. Yeah, Jolene's pretty great.
Yeah.
So, you know.
There's some country artists that you can't deny, like Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash.
Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Taylor Swift up there.
Used to be.
She's not really a country singer anymore. She's been a pop star for like forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I watched a Christmas movie as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, let's hear it.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle.
I watched The Happiest Season. On Hulu.
Oh, we've been wanting to watch that.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
With Kristen Stewart.
I've heard it's good, and I've heard it's bad.
It's got good points and bad points. Kristen Stewart actually doesn't do terrible in it.
It's 'cause she's a good actress when she's not in a Twilight movie, when she's not given garbage to do.
Let's see here. It's a weird movie. It feels like a Hallmark movie, kind of.
Okay.
But with an LGB twist?
I think that's what they were going for. I think that's what
they advertise it as a Christmas comedy. It is not a comedy.
Huh.
It is not a funny movie. So I guess like the soft pitch of it is you have these two women who are and they basically detail their entire courtship process in the opening credits of the film through like drawings.
Okay, all right.
And then the whole crux of the movie is they're going to go visit the one girl's family. But, oh no, they don't know she is gay. And she's not out to them.
Ah.
So they
go on Christmas holiday just being gals, being
roommates.
Pals.
Roommates, because she has nowhere to go because her parents are dead and she's an orphan.
Oh,
please tell me at least Dan Levy's funny.
Oh, he is the best part of the whole
movie. Okay, I had a feeling.
He is the best part of the whole movie. I could have just had a whole movie of just him. I don't know. I mean, it's not bad. It's very predictable. Also, Kristen Stewart's girlfriend in the movie is, she's not a good person. I don't feel like she's a good person. Like, I don't understand why they crux the love story on this whole, on this woman. I mean, there's some good part. It's an interesting movie, though half the time, like, they're at these fancy, like, rich people parties because the one girl's dad's running for mayor of the town. And Kristen Stewart's character is basically dressed like Catra from the Princess Ball episode of She-Ra. Like, it's this, like, suit jacket and, like, I don't know. I mean, it's, like, the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, she looks like Catra. She looks like Catra.
I saw a great tweet the other day. Molly Ostertag, Noelle Stevenson's wife, had a text from her dad that was a picture of She-Ra and Catra kissing. And his text underneath was, "Hey, she looks like you." As in Catra. And it's like, well, yeah. He figured it out.
I don't know. It was. I mean, it's got its moments. It's kind of a cute movie. And like I said, Kristen Stewart's actually not bad in it. And I was like, okay, this movie wasn't terrible. I mean, I don't see myself going back and watching it again. But, I mean, give it a watch. I mean,
cool.
If anything, for, you know, for Dan Levy.
Yeah.
I have another marginally Christmas-themed movie, kind of. It's set at Christmas.
Die Hard?
No.
Batman Returns?
I mean, no. I mean, you just watched it, too. It is...
Oh,
it's only 15 minutes long.
We saw the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, you saw the important bits of it. That's right. I'm talking about the Lifetime movie / KFC chicken, a commercial mini movie, Recipe for Seduction.
With Mario Lopez.
Starring Mario Lopez.
As Colonel Sanders.
As Colonel Harlan Sanders. That's right. So.
KFC Slater.
Oh. Perfect. I'm glad it's 15 minutes because 16 minutes would be too long. It is just long enough to hit every trope of these bad low-budget movies, like Lifetime movies or made-for-TV Hallmark movies or whatever.
It was almost like watching like a telenovela in English.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that vibe from what I saw.
Yeah, almost like a clip show of like an episode. Like if someone took a YouTube... Like if someone took an hour-long episode of like
a soap opera,
like a Days of Our Lives,
and just cut like all the fat out. There's no, I mean, it's all lean, it's all lean meat on that bone, covered in 11 herbs and spices.
Secret recipe.
Yep. But so it tells the story of a family who is a mother and daughter. They are pretending to be rich, but they are going, they have a lot of bills. The father left them with a lot of bills, and the mother is pushing the daughter to marry the rich man. But oh no, here comes Harlan Sanders,
the new chef,
the hunky chef who has aspirations of greatness,
of a secret recipe that could change the world.
You know, they mentioned that like 8 times in 15 minutes. And there's overacting, there's secret trysts between the daughter or the mother of the daughter
and the prospective fiance.
And the prospective fiance. There's a gay black best friend.
Oddly named Lee.
Oddly named Lee, yeah. How did they get away with that?
Yeah, a chicken-based movie having a character named Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, How big of a chain is Lee's Chicken? Is it just around here? Is there more?
I thought it was a national chain. Maybe it's not. Yeah, I don't know.
The one in Marion's the only one I know of.
That's true.
That is a good point.
It'd be like having a Captain Popeye show up. I'm going to make sure Lee's is a chain.
Oh, yeah. Let's look that up. Let's be accurate about our chicken restaurants.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I feel like there was one near where I used to live.
But anyway, it's on YouTube and it's 15 minutes that, I mean, you could spend it doing better things, but you could spend it doing worse things too.
You could see bad prosthetics glued to Mario Lopez's face.
Oh,
and
you mean that tiny goatee was not a real beard, Josh? You mean to tell me, are you shattering my dreams here?
It's a franchise.
Lisa's a franchise. Okay. But yeah, it was fine. It was set at Christmas. They're having Christmas chicken.
That's the Japanese style Christmas.
Oh yeah. Yep. In the Japanese style.
Yeah.
Deep fried with 11 herbs and spices.
Yep. Oh, come on, we gotta have one more Christmas theme thing.
One more Christmas theme thing. Oh. We watched a pretty good horror movie, but it wasn't Christmas related.
Okay, can you explain it to me in a way that makes it Christmas? Can you make this Christmas?
I mean, it's not good. Ho, 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 a sad man who has to take care of his dementia-ridden mother finds a videotape that with a new holiday pal on it that he becomes obsessed with, and the guy is played by Will Wheaton. The guy on the tape.
Okay.
It's a guy that's doing like this video dating service that takes place in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
And he's having a bad time of it, and his life sucks because he has to take care of his dementia-ridden mother and can't be out of the house for more than like an hour at a time. And he gets so lonely, he finds this Rent-A-Pal tape. That's the name of the movie.
Oh, okay.
He finds this Rent-A-Pal tape that's just like a recording of Will Wheaton like being, "Hey, pal, what are you doing today?" And then he pauses for you to talk to him. Like, and he becomes like obsessed with it and like believes it's real. And they play it up like maybe it's real.
Huh.
And it just gets wild from there.
The way you said Wilton's like, "Hey there, pal," all I pictured was Captain America in the Spider-Man films on that VHS.
I mean, it's kind of the same vibe. He's like just sitting in a chair like, "Hey pal, how was your day?"
Well, so you got your trouble premise for a
and he ends up getting a date, and he goes on the date, and he comes home and it's like the tape is mad at him now.
Oh, really?
And he reads it as the tape is always repeating the same dialogues, but now he's perceiving it as being mad at him.
Does the tone change?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
interesting. No, that's a cool idea for a horror movie, a psychological kind of thing. That's awesome.
It was pretty good. I mean, I was on the fence. I'm not a huge Will Wheaton fan.
Not especially.
No, but he was really good in this. He played the creepy tape pretty well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Ho, ho, ho. And then Santa shows up.
Yes. Yep. You saved it in the end. There we go.
I don't know. I think your shirt's more festive than that movie.
Oh, my holiday Yoda. And I've just been playing a whole bunch of Cyberpunk still. And
a ho, ho, ho,
a
bunch.
Ho, 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 bunch. A whole Santa's sack full of Cyberpunk. And I just keep liking it more and more. Like, it's actually a super solid, very, very good game. Asterisk if you're playing it on PC.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about that we'll talk more about later that. In the show.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, you know what? Let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get into some news. Hey, we're back. That was I Am Santa Claus by Bob Rivers.
A personal favorite Christmas song of mine. A
yearly tradition here on the Nerd Overload holiday show.
Ho, ho, ho. It's the holiday show. It's the holiday hoedown.
All right. So, hey, let's go ahead and get into some news.
Santa Claus, you will never return to Earth. Now you belong to Mars. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
We need to do another riff of that.
We do, yeah. Yep. We have the technology now. You've never seen Santa Claus Conquers the Martians?
No.
Oh, man. Oh, oh, man. So good.
Yeah.
I mean, so terrible, but so good. Okay, snap decision. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians or the Mexican Santa movie where he fights the devil?
The devil? Oh.
Which one's the better one?
Oh, they're both so good. Isn't the other one just called Santa Claus?
I think it's just called Santa Claus.
They're both pretty wild.
They're both wild.
Oh. I want to say Conquers the Martians because it's a better movie.
Yeah, I think it's...
It's a more coherent film.
Yes, yes. The one where Santa Claus lives in a cloud and his best friend is Merlin and he fights a devil. Not the devil, but a devil.
There's long scenes that are like it's a small world
yeah.
stuff going on.
With very racially insensitive depictions of children from
other
different
cultures.
Countries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the when Santa spies in on the African country, that was not...
Oh, no. Yeah. You know what? It's not a hard choice.
It's not a hard choice, actually. Yeah. Now that I think about it. Huh. Well, there we go. There we have it. Anyway, let's get into some news. Let's do Cyberpunk.
That was the last thing we talked about
before the break. Let's go into Cyberpunk now.
Cream.
So, yes, Cyberpunk 2077... is a very popular game that has been released. It's been a week now, right? It's been
maybe infamous.
At this point,
word.
Yeah, it's getting to be more infamous. The game's having some issues, and
on your low end consoles, on
yes.
your baseline PlayStation and Xbox One, it's getting like 15 frames per second,
it's
720p.
Looking like a PS3 game, and it's looking...
And it crashes a lot,
crashes
apparently.
Constantly. It's, yeah, it's not great. It's not a good look.
No.
Especially for a game company that prides itself on crunch culture.
Yeah.
And,
which is not good either, yeah.
And push back the release date many, 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 many times...
And it's been working on the game for 8 years.
The game should have run the best on last gen consoles because that's
what they were
what
developing
was
it as.
Yeah.
Available when they first started development on it. Yeah.
It's clear the console versions may have been a little bit of an afterthought.
They were a rush job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like the more SKUs you're developing for, the harder it's going to be and the more likelihood something's going to get lost along the way.
Sure.
That's what happened with Mighty Number Nine.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't talk about that.
But yeah, but I mean, yeah, there's like, it's having trouble running. There have been a lot of like weird glitches and stuff. I saw one where someone did a non-lethal takedown on an enemy and somehow it bugged out and that enemy turned into a set of patio furniture. Like the reference ID in the game like got mixed up and it was like textured differently. It was clearly from another section of the game that just popped in.
You ever hit somebody so hard they turned into a lawn chair?
Pretty much, yeah. One I've seen a lot of times and these are primarily in the I don't want to call them the old, like the outdated gens, because the new generation is so new. I want to say
previous gen,
yeah,
recent gen. One of the big ones I've seen is when you try to drive in a car or ride a motorcycle, you end up T-posing through the roof with your pants completely gone.
And this is a game with full frontal nudity.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, when you're T-posing, you're just asserting dominance.
Yeah. I had a romantic encounter with another character today, and my hair didn't load during the romance scene, and then later in the scene it did.
Oh.
So, like, you know, half the time I looked like a bald mutant. Because, like, just the shape of the head is weird because there's supposed to be
hair
on it.
Hair, yeah.
Like, it doesn't look like a regular bald man. It looks like a bulbous alien bald man.
like your Megamind or something?
Yeah. Yeah, and...
It really takes you out of the scene.
I mean, yeah, I imagine it does. And, you know, along with some of the... These are fun goofs, fun bugs, fun goofs. I mean, hey, it's a cyberpunk world. Bugs and crashes are kind of part of the aesthetic, right?
Who says your cyberware isn't going to make you T-pose on a motorcycle?
Totally pantsless.
Yeah.
But no, there was another one. Now, this fortunately has been patched out, but we should probably mention it. And I'm talking about the brain dance scene that was not checked correctly for folks with epilepsy. The scene in question had very, very fast flashing lights.
Well, yeah, there's a light in front of each of your eyeballs in the game, and it flashes very fast.
Yeah.
Like some sort of weird eye test.
Yes, and it is almost guaranteed to give anyone who is sensitive to epilepsy either, you know, very nauseous feeling, if not a full-blown
epileptic
seizure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something I also heard about this, so I follow a couple of, you know, Twitch streamers, and they were playing some of the game. They ran, and there was supposed to be a setting in the game where you could turn off all DMCA music. DMCA is a copyright thing.
Yeah, any licensed music it wasn't supposed to play.
Right. They missed a whole bunch. And I mean a whole, like, so many they couldn't list them.
Wow.
And one of them happens during that brain dance scene. So the way the guy looked at it, it's like he described it, so this game is actively out to hurt me and my livelihood. So while I'm playing the game live on stream and seizing out because of the flashing lights, the copyright bots are coming in and taking down all of my channel.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's had some issues.
In the words of Prince Zuko in Avatar The Last Airbender.
That's rough, buddy.
Ah, dang it.
Yeah, I gotcha. I got it. All right, so CD Projekt Red, they came up with a solution to this, right? They are doing like a refund thing. Is that correct?
They said, first they're like, hey, get a refund if you have to. Just ask you where you bought it from, the storefront. without telling the storefront.
Yeah, that's the issue. They forgot. They said, yeah, oh yeah, just contact Sony and Microsoft. They'll refund it. Never said anything to Sony or Microsoft. And that kind of burnt them a little bit.
Once again, it's like they're forgetting that console versions of the games exist.
Yeah,
because on PC, you can just get a refund on Steam. You can get a refund on GOG, which is their own storefront. So yeah they're going to give you a refund.
Yeah.
But not on Sony or Microsoft, where there is no their store, which there is no refunds whatsoever.
Yeah.
There's always a warning when you buy something digitally. It goes, hey, you can't return this.
Yeah. Although I did see Sony is now, they said that they're going to accept refunds up until December 21st. Also, they
like 2 days,
a couple days. Well, it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
But also, they removed the game from their digital storefront, so you can't currently buy the game digitally.
Which seems a little overkill, I think, because there's garbage uploaded. Barely working garbage video games get uploaded to their stores every day, and they don't make a big stink about it.
I think part of it is, I don't think it's that the game is a buggy mess that sometimes doesn't play. I think it's the offering a refund without contacting Sony to get the okay on this first. And I bet you this is Sony kind of going, okay, you want to play that? We're going to make an example out of you.
Which Microsoft then followed suit, and they've taken it off of their store.
Yeah.
Even though I've heard it does it if you've got an Xbox One X or the new Xbox, it's not that bad. It's apparently pretty passable on those two.
But you said you've been having a lot of fun with it on the PC.
Yeah, oh, it's fantastic on the PC, and it doesn't run any buggier than, like, a Skyrim.
Mm.
Maybe less so.
Well, it's Bethesda, yeah.
I mean, I've seen weird things, but I've never had anything game breaking.
Mm.
The worst thing that's happened is I had to reload a save once because a trigger to exit a brain dance didn't come up.
Ah, okay.
But it literally cost me 5 minutes of game time. Like, it wasn't a big deal.
Gotcha.
It's never crashed on me.
And it's not like it's a recurring issue.
Yeah. I mean, the worst that happened is just weird graphical glitches.
And that's almost fun.
Yeah.
That's part of the fun of playing some of these games.
One time I called for my motorcycle and it came flying out of a third story window of a building across the street.
Nice.
And that was just awesome.
That's pretty metal.
It's like, what was it doing up there?
Yeah, I just assumed it's up there with like four other motorcycles playing poker.
Yeah, just hanging out.
And it's like, I gotta go.
It's like when you call for your horse in like Red Dead or something and it falls down a mountain.
It's nothing different than like the weird stuff that Roach would do in Witcher 3, like end up on a roof or like floating over a dock or something. Like, it's just video game
it's
stuff.
It's video games, yeah.
That every open world game especially has.
Yeah,
because there's a lot more factors in there.
Yeah. You have to accept some of the jank for this gigantic, humongous world with a million variables.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you think that people are treating this differently because it had so many years in development and that it was so hyped to
the point
where...
I think it's the hype.
Yeah, well, I think people are, like, having fun, like, trying to find every little glitch or poking at every little, like, regular video game thing. Where, like, now because it's Cyberpunk and because it's a big deal, it's like, oh, there's a glitch.
Yeah.
That person walked weird for a second. It's like, well, yeah, they do that in Grand Theft Auto too. Like,
yeah.
I've seen people complain about the cop AI and like how they work, but like, it's not Grand Theft Auto. Like, that's not what the game is about. The game's not about fighting cops. Like, you're in a lawless future dystopian city. Like, they're not going to work the same as reality.
Right, yeah.
And even then, the cops in Grand Theft Auto don't work like reality.
No.
Do you see the console versions of the game getting patched and, like, getting to a usable state? Or do you think the last gen or previous gen versions of the game, if they're going to continue being buggy messes?
So, no, they'll get them working right. I trust CD Projekt enough to do right by it. They've had this same kind of stuff happen when Witcher 3 came out. It apparently launched kind of a mess, and then they fixed it through patches.
And then people end up loving it and thinking it's the greatest game in the world.
Yeah, now people don't shut up about Witcher 3.
I mean, it got a Netflix show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Cyberpunk more than Witcher 3, but I love this. The setting really appeals to me.
Sure, yeah.
That goes a lot. The Cyberpunk setting goes a long way for me, too, also.
Oh, sure. That's squarely your jam.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Some of my favorite animes are Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
It's like one of the big reasons I want to play.
All right. So, hey, let's move on to some other news. You know what? I could do this one real quick. So in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, we announced last week that Final Fantasy VII big bad man Sephiroth, the big
bad pretty boy,
and the big tall bad man with his big long sword, was the new character, and they had a mini showcase of the character, showing off his new moves and everything, and looks great. Everything he looks right. Some of the interesting things that they added to it, he gets released on the 22nd, but because he has traditionally been a boss character, for anyone who has purchased the Challenger's Pass, yeah, whatever, they if you've purchased that already, there is a special boss mode where you can fight Sephiroth as a super hard boss and earned the ability to unlock him early. So I did, and I did.
How hard was it to beat him?
On easy, it is laughable.
Okay.
On medium, it is pretty easy. And on very hard, you can cheese the AI. You can't... It's difficult as a straight fight, but certain moves the AI doesn't know how to handle. Like Bowser's like grab flying press. You can just do that over and over. Run up, grab, flying press, run up, grab, flying press. And before you know it, he's done. Because it's a stamina battle. So you're going down to zero instead of trying to knock him off the stage. So I did that. And I got to play as Sephiroth early. And you know what? He is conditionally one of my favorite characters. I think in one-on-one fights, like online one-on-one fights, I don't think he's going to do particularly well because he hits really hard, but he is a very light character. It does not take much for him to get knocked out, and a lot of his attacks have a very long cooldown. So for folks who don't know fighting games, cooldown is when you, if you throw a punch, the cooldown is from the point where you, the punch is thrown to the part where you come back to like your idle stance. He's very flashy, so he does a lot of flourishes and stuff, and it gives a lot of downtime. So if you're good and you can dodge the attack, your opponent can get right in and really mess you up. Having said that, I think he is going to be a beast on 8-man battles and multi-man battles because his weapon is so large and all of his attacks seems like they are built to hit multiple people at the same time.
Yeah, he can stab the width of at least 3 Kirbys.
Yes. Well, like his that Shadow Flare attack that creates like a...
you mean PK Flash.
PK Flash, yeah. That's it, yeah.
It's the same as
it's the same, yeah. But it's... He's going to be very fun in party mode multi-man, but one-on-one... Some people will be able to get good with them. I will probably stick with my mains, but no, a very fun character, very interesting in inclusion.
I thought he was a refreshingly back to basics standard fighter.
Oh yeah,
which is refreshing after the last several very complicated characters.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Joker, the P5, because with his that wing. The one wing that he gets, you know, that one wing.
The one wing, the one winged angel
the,
wing.
The one wing that he gets reminds me kind of Joker's...
Arsene.
Yeah, his whatever, his stand persona. Or persona. Yeah, that's
his
it.
His stand.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Worth checking out. Worth picking out.
His down B bearing the, being the you know, the cinematic kill stab.
Oh yeah, and it goes through floors and stuff. It's wild.
Oh wait, so you could stab like people underneath you?
Oh yeah. Did you not watch the direct?
No, I watched it. I just didn't notice.
Okay, yeah. No, yeah, you could stab people through floors.
Also, his final smash is Supernova with the math showing up.
With the
on
weird
screen.
Math and the
meteor exploding mm-hmm. every planet in the solar system.
Yep. Oh, it's super good.
I don't think we're getting any more Final Fantasy characters.
Oh, no.
No, absolutely not. I truly believe that they initially wanted Sora from
Kingdom Hearts.
I bet you anything. They said, okay, let's get another Square Enix character. Sora's popular. He's another lead. Let's put him in the game. Square Enix said yes. Disney said no because
Disney
owns half of Kingdom Hearts.
Man, Sora would be interesting because his range is really short and he's fast.
Yeah, but when they said no, Nintendo was probably like, okay, well, hey, what else do you have? Hey, how about that big, tall jerk?
I mean, he's a fan favorite on the internet.
He is.
I think the stage is kind of a letdown, though, because it's another one of those like plain old stages where a video plays in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
The video looks nice.
It looks very nice, and it's very long. I don't think anyone's ever going to get to the end of that video that they play in the background of the stage. It seems like
just
there's
the crater, isn't it?
It's well, it plays the entire thing with the holy materia.
The whole end of the game.
Final Fantasy VII. Yeah, huh. It's spoilerific.
I kind of wish they just would have did a more standard Final Fantasy theme stage and had other characters show up like the King of Fighters one.
That would have been cool, yeah. But no, I'm overall happy with it. It's fine. It's cool. We're getting Barret and Tifa and Aerith Mii costumes. And those are fun.
And Geno too, isn't it?
Oh god, Geno.
Yeah, Geno, the dumb puppet from Mario RPG.
That everyone seems to love so much.
I don't get it. He's not that cool.
He's not. He's really not.
He's not even that good of a character in the game he's from.
And people seem to absolutely lose their collective minds over this character.
And yet we still can't get Waluigi.
Never.
I was always a Mario, Bowser, and Peach.
Yeah, because
that was my
Mario RPG
party.
It's Mario RPG, not Cloud Boy and Weird Puppet.
Yeah, Weird Space Puppet.
RPG, yeah. All right, no more complaining. Let's move on to something else.
Man, I had a good idea of who the next fighter would be, but I forgot what it was. I said it the other day. It went
someone from Monster Hunter.
That's right. The next one could be a Monster Hunter Hunter to go with when the new Monster Hunter game comes out.
That makes a lot of sense. Also, it would make Rathalos seem less out of left field for the game.
That's true. I forgot they added the Rathalos.
Yeah.
I mean, Nintendo paid like $2 million to Capcom to get them to put that Monster Hunter game on the Switch.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
They have more than a little horse in that race of making that game successful.
If they do that, I hope they don't have a sword.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of options.
I mean, there's the other weapons, sure.
Yeah.
Give them the spear. Give them the...
The gunbow.
The gunbow,
give
yeah.
Give them the... Oh, what's it? The horn. The hunter's horn.
Hunter's horn. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that would be good. Yeah, I can see Monster Hunter. And, like, every other color variation flips between male and female.
Yeah.
That would probably be the way to do it.
That's my guess.
Yeah. Do you think the last character is going to be a permutation of Master Hand and Crazy Hand?
I mean, it could be.
Because if this is like the ultimate version of this game and this is the last fighters pack and it's a celebration of all of their games,
it should be
Master
Sakurai.
Hand has been like it. Well, it should be Sakurai, yes. But he would just win all of them.
Yeah.
Sakurai with two Nintendo Pro controllers, one in each hand. Oh, maybe it's like a Pokemon trainer situation where he's standing in the background
and the two hands
yeah. are like, and he's controlling them with one pro controller in each hand.
No. Power gloves.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Yeah. But no, I really think Master Hand and Crazy Hand might be a decent permutation.
I mean, that's a fighting game staple where you can unlock the boss character.
Yeah.
And then...
Plus, by this point, how many Smash Brothers games have there been? 5? If you count Ultimate as a separate entity from the Wii and 3DS versions.
Which you should.
Totally
different game.
And the character has been in like 5 games, which is more than Shulk.
if it is Master Hand, Crazy Hand, they should have an alternate skin where you look like the Wall Master from Zelda.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be cool. That would be really cool.
They are going to have to come up with something just totally out there for the last one, mm-hmm. right?
They're going to have to, yeah, something crazy.
And here I thought Piranha Plant was kind of a crazy one.
Okay, what is a classic Nintendo game that... Like original, even like Game and Watch level, like out of nowhere.
The Ultra Hand.
Oh yeah, with the fly swatter. No, wait, that's from Mario Paint.
Yeah,
the
no,
fly
I'm
swatter.
Talking about the toy that's like an extending.
Oh, the Extendo hand. Yeah. That would be cool. Huh.
Yeah, if Mr. Game & Watch wasn't already in the game, that
it would
have been
be a cool like last one. Yeah.
And there's already Rob Robot.
There is. Yeah.
I don't know. But that's the thing is there's already so many characters in this game. Like, what do you do now?
Well, they have 3 more they have to figure out. Somehow, some way.
Gray Fox.
From Metal Gear?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't done that. Well, now Metal Gear is just kind of in...
Yeah. Weird limbo.
Yeah, weird limbo.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of hope it stays gone. Like, as much as I love Metal Gear Solid...
Yeah, it doesn't need to exist without Kojima.
Exactly. What?
Sam Strand.
Sam Strand Bridges?
Strand Bridges from Death Stranding.
Oh.
With that weird baby on his chest.
They'd have to come out with a Switch version.
Well, that's true. Well,
I mean, they could. That game doesn't have to look as nice as it does, and it would
doesn't.
Still work.
It would be fine. Yeah. If that game looked as good as Breath of the Wild,
yeah, that'd
you know,
be fine.
It'd be fine. All right, we have time for a very quick one last one.
We got to talk about Super Nintendo World first, we watch that 15-minute video for nothing.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about it.
They showed just today.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo released a direct specifically about the upcoming theme park Super Nintendo World. And it was Shigeru Miyamoto walking us through the theme park, showing us a few neat things that are in it. And by God, it looks so cool.
It's very cool. Yeah, now this is a part of the Universal Studios Japan. And oh, it's so amazing.
It's literally going through a pipe and walking out in
to Peach's
Mario.
Palace.
Yeah, in the Mario world.
Yeah. It's so cool.
Like,
there's
all the animatronic characters like moving around in the background. Mm-hmm. And at one point I was sitting there and I was like, is that a video or is that an actual thing? And no, it's a stupid robot moving back and forth.
Yeah, and all the stuff moves around with like the same logic as it would in the game. Yep. So you're looking at a mountain with a turtle shell bouncing back and forth between two blocks.
Oh yeah.
Spinning coins everywhere. And you get a little like wrist thing you wear on your wrist, a near field communication thing you wear on your wrist that lets you can punch the underside of the question mark blocks and it keeps track of how many coins you've collected.
Oh yeah, that's very cool. Now they didn't get into what the coins do.
Yeah, that was weird. They didn't explain why you would want all these coins.
Yeah, and there's like an app that connect like on your phone that like shows you what all you've done and like how many coins you've collected. Looks like there's a coin cap for
some
reason.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That seemed very reminiscent of the novelty wands at the Harry Potter World in Universal Studios, Florida. If you buy one of the $40 wands or whatever, you wave it over like a box and like
it does a thing
or it changes the light colors in a window or something like that, which is really cool. Yeah. But this seems very, very interactive and very Nintendo.
I can't wait to wait in line with 20 children to punch the underside of a box.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And there's little, they were calling them activities, but little games you can play in the world. Like there was one part where you punch the underside of a POW block and you had to time it right with a turtle shell moving back and forth on a cliff so it would knock a block around and you'd get a key coin.
Yeah.
Which is like living in the video game more or less.
Yeah. There's a crazy maze inside. Was it inside Bowser's Castle or was it beside Bowser's Castle?
It was the underground level.
It was the underground level, yeah. And it uses forced perspective and changing size of its blocks
You get hit by a bomb and you depower.
You depower and get small.
Yeah, and all the background blocks like on the wall and stuff get super huge.
It's so cool. Oh. And that food looked delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Toad's Restaurant.
Yeah, Toad's Cafe.
Yeah.
I can't wait till they build one like in America, which they said they are going to do in both Hollywood and Florida.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
But not Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, and then the fact that the Mario Kart ride in Bowser's Castle has augmented reality goggles that you wear. So only who knows what you're going to see when you're doing it.
It's amazing.
Then they didn't show the actual ride going. They wanted to maintain the surprise.
Hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that. I mean, 5 minutes after the park opens, there's going to be a bunch of YouTube videos of people doing the ride, but that's okay.
Theme park YouTube is going to go ham on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, as long as, you know, travel is allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah, if anybody in America is allowed to go to Japan, I don't know. Probably not.
Not currently. Yeah. Well, we can dream.
The fact that he kept calling himself Mario's dad.
Which, I mean, he is.
He is. Yeah. It's not a lie.
Yeah.
But it's just funny. Because, like, at one point, like, the two mascot, Mario and Luigi, show up, and they take a picture, and he's like, okay, Dad's busy.
Tells him to get out of here.
Yeah. Daddy's working. The sheer seeing all the Mario things in actual, like, one-to-one human scale is wild. Like, to see a Koopa Troopa that's the size of a man.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, we have reached time, so I think we should probably go ahead and get out of here. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline. The number's 586-372-8020. Leave us a message, and we might play it on the show. What would you want most out of a Mario theme park? Or just Nintendo theme park in general?
Eggs.
Eggs. Big old Yoshi eggs.
Yep. Just give me a plate full of Yoshi eggs.
I want Birdo to fire eggs at my face.
You can find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So thank you again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out. Wait, no, Christmas time. Ho, ho, ho.